Welcome to the Invest Smarter podcast, where you'll learn about the power of building wealth through real estate and how you can achieve financial freedom through multifamily investing. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions, How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. Now, here's our host, Simon Castillo.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Invest Smarter podcast. I'm your host, Simon Castillo, and this is my opportunity to talk to you about real estate investing, business, and entrepreneurship. So what I want to talk about today is just the number, or I should say the amount of information out there regarding entrepreneurship, real estate investing. You know, if you've talked to me or listened to me, you know that I strongly consider real estate investing to be really an entrepreneurial effort. You have to be an investor. You have to run your investment holdings. You're just like you would a business, and there's no getting around it. You have to consider all the different business aspects when you are a real estate investor. You have to know how to market, you have to know how to project manage, and you have to deal with people. And you know, those things make real estate investing a true business. So, but what I want to focus on today, though, is just the amount of business advice that's out there on the internet and blogs and self-help books that's just wrong. And maybe it has the best intentions, but you know, it can be taken the wrong way. But at the same time, let me also start by saying that on this podcast in general, and especially on this episode, you know, I get excited about entrepreneurship and real estate investing, and there's some issues that I feel very strongly about, and I tend to make general statements and speak in absolutes. So please, as a listener, I'm banking on you to be smart enough to take the principles and lessons from this episode and apply them to you and your business and pass on whatever doesn't apply to you and your business. So here we go. So let's talk through, you know, some of the stuff I've read that's just bad advice. And number one is talking about starting something that you're passionate about. Start something that you enjoy doing. Start something that you love. And I just think that's bad advice. You know, passion and enjoyment, those are emotions, and emotions cloud your logic and they cloud your judgment. As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, the world is your oyster. You can choose to enter any market in just about any industry in any city. And that goes also for a real estate investor. This is not 1980 where you're limited to investing in your own zip code or your own city. You have so many options now to invest in real estate in various markets around the country, whether it be single family homes, whether it be multifamily, whether it be self-storage, you know, any asset class. But you have the tools now to do the right research. And if you limit your options to markets or services or products or industries that only you care deeply about, you're going to be at a huge disadvantage. And not to mention that it's highly competitive because you probably aren't the only one who is passionate and cares about those things. I hear people say that when you're passionate, you're far more determined and far more likely to succeed. Well, the truth is that determination is, I think, way, way, way down the list on factors that lead to success. In fact, when you're passionate and determined, you may be far more likely to ignore the warning signs. When you're passionate and determined, you may be also far more likely to try to work out and prop the problems up and ignore the big picture stuff that is so critical. So when you're passionate and determined, you're far less likely to pull the plug on an investment or on a business at the right time. And you're far more likely to waste time and money and continue down a path that could potentially lead to greater failure. Also, you are far less likely to limit your losses and move on when the signs point to it. And if you think with your heart instead of your brain, you're setting yourself up for failure. So think with your brain, use logic, create a plan that pencils out and study the market for what it is. So if you're determined and passionate, are you more likely to succeed? Probably not. But when you have a logical plan that pencils out and you've studied and you are located in a place where you can add value, you are more likely then to succeed. And I hear people say that when you are passionate, it'll be a much more fulfilling experience for you. But is losing money really a fulfilling experience for you? Is failure fulfilling to you? The truth is that it rips people's hearts out when their passion doesn't end up working out. You know, think of people whose passion is cooking, and they want to open up a restaurant, unaware of, you know, just how difficult it is and how low probability for success a restaurant has. The market does not give a darn about your passion. The market will be ruthless and brutal. The market can eat you alive And the market doesn't care how much you love what you do. And the market doesn't care about your amazing intentions to do something wonderful. The market doesn't care if it loves you or if you love it. You know, I'm passionate about craft beer, love craft beer, but I wouldn't dare enter that market because I know I'd get eaten alive, even if I did everything right. You know, I'm passionate about sustainability, but I know that if I tried to compete with the Elon Musk of the world, I'd get eaten alive, even if I did everything right. So again, if you create a business solely because of passion and it doesn't pencil out, it will make you go crazy. People will say that it's all about making money. For me, then the best entrepreneurs aren't passionate about money or the things that come along with money. Great entrepreneurs are passionate about entrepreneurship. They're passionate about building something great, and they're passionate about the relationships that they build and the people that they meet. So great entrepreneurs will be passionate about the process. They use entrepreneurship as their form of play, their sort of creative canvas, as a source of joy. If you don't use your brain and logic, you have to really be careful about trying to turn your passion into a business. I'm not saying that it never works. I'm not saying that it wouldn't work. I'm not saying that it can't work. I'm just saying that you have to be really careful when you are solely pursuing something that is a passion and not really using logic and making sure that you understand the market and the demand for what you're trying to start as an entrepreneur. So the second piece of bad advice I hear all the time, again, is you need to try to change the world. And I have bad news. You probably can't change the world, especially if this is your first time as an entrepreneur. And when I say change the world, I really mean in terms of the scope of what you're trying to do. You know, maybe as a real estate investor, maybe you're trying to uplift a neighborhood. And so you're going to buy a couple of properties and renovate them and hope that by doing so, you uplift an entire neighborhood. As an inventor or business person, you're hoping that you can come across a piece of technology that will just change the world. And that just generally, again, is just bad advice. It's like if you're trying out for a professional sports team, say it's a baseball team, and you've never touched the baseball, you have to practice and you have to develop your skills leading and running and building a business. Build your first business, learn from it. Maybe you make some capital and you take the next opportunity and build another business. It's just like investing. Buy that first property, earn some capital, learn, and then you can go on and build or purchase a second property. But first thing first, get momentum behind you and then think back about what you've done. Learn from it. Continue to build businesses, continue to acquire properties, then think about influencing serious change once you've accumulated some wealth. You know, shooting for the stars is awesome, and I don't want to discourage you from thinking big, but keep reality in perspective and play the long game. If you don't have small steps to take to get there, you won't be able to pay the bills, and you'll end up going broke and having to go back to that 9-to-5 job. It's fine to dream about changing the world, but start by changing your neighborhood. Start small, gain momentum, change your neighborhood, then your town, then your state, and then the country. And then you can start thinking about changing the world. The third piece of bad advice that I hear all the time is that working long hours is what it takes to win. And it's been so deeply entrenched in our souls and our minds that this is a way to get ahead by just working longer hours. Think about it. It's glorified in our culture, in our media, in corporate America. Kids who study and do as they're told the longest and the hardest get into the best college, where they do as they're told the longest and the hardest, and then they get the best job and the coolest city where they get, you know, great pay, again, to do as they're told the longest and the hardest until they've had enough. They retire, they get old, and they die. You don't have to work long hours to get ahead. You have to work hard. Absolutely. Everybody works hard. This is America, after all. You can't succeed in business just by working hard alone and expecting everything else to find a place. When you think that you can solve every problem with just hard work, you'll miss all the warning signs that your business may be failing. You have to work smart. You have to work on building the company, that you have to work on sales and marketing. You have to work on leading employees. And if you're an investor, you have to work on understanding how to underwrite deals, understanding finance, financing deals. You'll have to be able to work with tenants and people and brokers and realtors and mortgage officers. You have to work on financials and all the big picture stuff that is important, but not always urgent. The things that stop the problems from happening in the first place. You have to understand how to anticipate those types of things. So find an opportunity, find an investment, start a business, work hard and smart for a few years. You're gonna have to work really, really hard, and you're gonna have to work some long hours. Once your business is built though, you'll have the opportunity to work a few hours a week for the rest of your life and play the rest of the time. If playing involves building your company and continuing to work and starting another company, then so be it. But don't let it fool you that you have to work hard and you have to work 90-hour weeks the rest of your life in order to get ahead. So another piece of advice that's really bad is that if you believe in something, never give up. Now, I'm not saying that when the time that you know that when the going gets tough, you should just quit, you know, and then it'll always be fun, that you should stay motivated and determined. I'm saying that there are tons of reasons why you should give up. Your brain may be telling you to give up. The market may be telling you to give up. Your customers may be telling you to give up. Your financial statements may be telling you to give up. Determination is a great quality. When there's an attainable goal in sight and you're hitting the targets along the way, the people who never give up and just blindly work and try harder and harder and harder, well, those people perish and they end up going to town and working 60 hours a week and commuting an hour each way to get there. In other words, they end up having to go back to corporate America. So yes, you want to be determined in what you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish, as long as you're accomplishing your goals along the way, but just simply never giving up and having a I can't quit attitude is simply just not enough. And that's terrible advice. So another thing that I hear that I consider to be bad advice is that an expensive degree is a must. A lot of people in Ivy League schools and in top rated schools don't know how to communicate. A lot of people there are sheltered and coddled so much by their parents growing up that they don't understand how to solve their own problems or deal with adversity. So, you know, Ivy League and large, you know, top rated schools, and at those types of places, you're largely rewarded for fitting in and doing as you're told and conforming with the rest. It's better if you understand how to solve problems, and you don't need an expensive degree to do that. You can learn a lot from going to public schools. You can learn a lot from going to local universities. Don't have to be an expensive degree, but you do have to understand how to identify and solve problems. So the next piece of bad advice out there is that you need a new idea to be an entrepreneur. And this is probably the one that I hear the most. Not having an idea as an excuse for not being an entrepreneur is something that our media and our culture glorifies. If you think about, you know, Shark Tank glorifies brand new services and brand new products and revolutionary new ideas. The books that we read about great entrepreneurs in the past, they glorify the forward thinkers, the risk takers, and the revolutionaries. If you have a new idea or a new market, you're in for a long road. The steps are risky. The amount of capital needed is massive. You're spending tons of time and money educating a new market. Don't fall for the media circus. Make your new idea just a different way to do something that everybody else is already doing. Go after a market that already exists with a tweak on a current idea. Study, research, and find advantages. Get enough facts and information that you know it's a wise investment for your time and your money. Know that you're going to succeed even before you start. You don't need a new idea. You don't need to try to change the world. You don't need to try to find a market. It may not exist. All you need to do is find a market that has a hole in it somewhere where you can carve out a piece of the pie by doing things a little bit differently, maybe a little bit better. You just have to be able to add a bit of value faster, better, or cheaper, or any combination of those three. There's thousands of markets and thousands of cities in America. You think that they're all perfectly efficient? You don't have to have a new idea to escape the rat race You just have to be able to do something a little bit better. You know, one of the more common examples that I tell my son all the time is just think about a landscaping business. It's not new, it's not innovative, but if you can do something better than 90% of the businesses out there, something as simple as returning a call the same day, something as simple as showing up to appointments on time, something as simple as asking for a referral, those types of things can make you stand out above the competition. And they're not hard to do. It's not a difficult business to start. And it's definitely not a new idea. And related to this, you know, another thing that I hear all the time is that you have to keep your idea a secret. Well, obviously, if you don't really have a brand new idea, you don't really need to keep your idea a secret. Hopefully, everybody that's listening to this knows by now, that's not the way that real entrepreneurs think. Ideas are a dime a dozen. It's the execution that's the hard part. I will go as far as to say that you should always share everything with as many people who will listen. Your competitors are paying attention to you, and your network will grow, and so will your opportunities. The first step is to get out there and start talking to your potential customers. Start studying your competitors, learning about the market, spreading the word as much as possible. Get advice from as many potential mentors as you can. So the last piece of advice that I think is just very bad advice, if taken the wrong way, is that the customer is always right. There's a culture growing around customer service in America that every company should go out of their way to service as many customers with as many problems as possible. And that every time a customer has an issue, it needs to be acted on immediately as if it's the end of the world, that every online review should be acted on, and your service should be brought in to make everyone happy. And that's just not right. And the customer is not always right. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should treat your customers with disrespect or be rude to them or forget about making them happy. But a lot of your customers are very wrong, and it would be unwise for you to design your service, your business around them. Just as you shouldn't specialize your employees to do a couple of things very well, you should specialize your customers so that you can be very good at what you offer them. You should target a certain type of customer and focus on them and fire the rest. Find the 20% of your customers that are causing 80% of your headaches and fire them. Find the 20% of your customers that are causing 80% of your stress and fire them. Find the 20% of your customers out there in America who make it their sole purpose in life to take advantage of companies and write negative reviews and be entitled jerks and fire them. But focus on the customers in your wheelhouse. Focus on the type of people who need your type of service and ignore everyone else. So those are my takes on a lot of the bad advice that I hear out there regarding business, entrepreneurship, real estate investing. You can apply these to all types of entrepreneurial efforts. And I consider real estate investing to be an entrepreneurial effort. So start small, gain some momentum, change your neighborhood before you try to change the world. So thanks again for listening to the Invest Smarter podcast. I could really use a rating and a review. It just goes a tremendous way to continue to grow the show and to attract the type of content and guests that you as a listener both want to and need to listen to. So if you could take a few moments and leave a five-star rating and a review, I would really appreciate it from you, the listeners. And if you have any questions for me, you'd like to get my input on something, on what you're doing, any questions, you can send me an email at simon@sastexascapital.com. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Invest Smarter podcast. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the Invest Smarter podcast, the show that educates you so that you can take control of your financial future. Be sure to rate the show 5 stars and leave us a review. Make sure that you're subscribed so that you automatically receive the newest edition of the podcast when it's released. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate and taking control of your financial future, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions: How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. And be sure to sign up for our mailing list to receive exclusive investment opportunities straight to your inbox. It's time to invest smarter. That's sastexascapital.com.